Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you. My name is John, if we haven't met before, and I too have the great joy and privilege of serving here on the ministry team. Let's pray as we get into God's Word. Father, as we consider what you might be saying to us this day, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts, soften us, open our eyes, that we may behold the beauty and the truth and the relevance of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. A while ago now, my wife Kim and I were living in Melbourne, and I was walking with a friend down a street near our house. It was a very busy main road in the city, and I witnessed a terrible accident involving a car and a child. It's not very helpful to go into detail about it, but one of the things that stuck with me about that day was the intense emotion of the scene, the uncontrolled wailing of the family members, the screaming, and the utter sense of helplessness for those of us who were there that day but couldn't do anything to assist. There's nothing we could do to help the child except to wait for help. It was a horrifying and terribly desperate situation. And the thing about being involved in such a desperate situation like this is that in that moment, in your world, nothing else matters. Suddenly, the only thing that kind of matters in your whole world is getting that person the help they need, and you try and do whatever you can to fix the terrible situation. Everyone there in that moment in Melbourne that day in the city was desperate to get help. There are times in our lives when we're faced with these utterly desperate situations, when it seems as if the world around us is just kind of caving in, moments where life doesn't seem to make sense, where everything just seems so unfair and terrible, when we're in despair about what to do and how to fix the situation. There's this great sense of hopelessness and helplessness and vulnerability. We're in this sermon series at the moment, going through the life of Jesus through Mark's gospel, and we're going to see this morning how Jesus responds to two people in desperate need. We encounter this story in Mark chapter 5 about two very different people, but these two very different people share this one thing in common, that they're facing this utterly desperate situation in their lives. Firstly, we're presented with Jairus, the synagogue ruler, whose daughter is about to die. And we're presented with this woman who has endured constant bleeding for 12 years. Both Jairus and this woman are in this desperate and helpless situation in their lives. And in their desperation, they both come to Jesus. And in doing so, they encounter his life-giving power and healing hand at work. So if you've got your Bible there, we're in the second half of Mark chapter 5. The verses will be up on the screen too. Firstly, our attention is drawn to this man called Jairus. Mark tells us that Jairus is a synagogue ruler. And as we read through this story, it's important for us to grasp the importance that the synagogue has in the Jewish faith. The synagogue is a place where the Jews go to meet and pray, where they worship God, where they read God's law, where they listen to the instructions on the law, where they learn to live as good Jews. But as well as serving this kind of religious function in the Jewish community at the time of Jesus, the synagogue is a bit like a community center as well, where the Jews meet to sort out their social affairs. And Jairus is this man who has this very important role in overseeing the life of the synagogue. He's a bit like the operations manager or the CEO of the synagogue. He's a highly respected man in his community. He's responsible for ensuring that the synagogue carries on with the traditions. He's responsible for ensuring that the Torah is taught correctly. Jairus is a leader. People look to Jairus for advice. He's like a gatekeeper of the Jewish faith. And Mark tells us here in verse 22, he says, one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she'll be healed and live. This is Jairus. Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Surely Jairus, for his whole life, had been teaching in the synagogue that Jesus was a fraud. Surely he'd been teaching for decades and warning his fellow Jews to stay away from this con man Jesus. Surely Jairus had been spending years doing whatever he could to distance himself from this false teacher, Jesus. To have Jairus publicly fall at the feet of Jesus, begging Jesus to come and heal his daughter, expressing the faith that Jesus Christ has the power to bring healing socially and culturally and religiously, whatever way you look at it, this is a shocking and outrageous scene that Mark tells us. In his desperation, Jairus was desperate, and in his desperation, nothing else mattered. You can only imagine what Jairus was going through, the fear of what was going to happen. The sense of helplessness. The anxiety. The pain of watching his child suffer every single day, knowing that she was about to die. And in desperation, this man who is so highly respected in his community falls at the feet of Jesus. And as he falls at the feet of Jesus, everything for him is put on the line. Jairus risks his identity. He risks his social status, he risks his livelihood, he risks his extreme embarrassment, he risks bringing dishonor to his family. You know, the moment Jairus falls at the feet of Jesus, his job is done for. Jairus risks everything to fall at the feet of Jesus. Because for whatever reason, and we don't know why, Jairus has come to this conclusion that Jesus has the power to bring healing and new life to his daughter. Jairus, this synagogue ruler, has realized that Jesus is the one who can bring healing and new life. No one else can. And despite everything that Jairus had been taught in the past, and despite everything that Jairus had been teaching everybody else, Jairus had come to the conclusion about where true power and authority and life and healing is found, and it's in Jesus. And so Jairus gets down on his knees in front of the entire crowd, and in desperation, begs Jesus to heal his child. Jairus is a man who is willing to put everything on the line, everything, to experience the life-giving and healing power of Jesus Christ. And as we read through this passage, it begs the question for us, what is stopping us as God's people today from falling at the feet of Jesus to seek his healing and life-giving power? Jairus risks everything. Would you risk everything to fall at the feet of Jesus? Would you actually risk everything? Too often we're so concerned about what other people might think of us. We're concerned for our reputation. We're concerned how putting all of our hope and trust in Jesus might affect our comfortable lives. We're concerned about how it might affect us financially. We're concerned about how putting all our hope and trust in Jesus might affect our careers or our nice homes. But I think also we can feel these kind of insecurities, not kind of in the world, but within the church as well. Now, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I enjoy coming to church. It's a good service. I'm a normal Christian. I'm not a desperate Christian. I'm a normal Christian. I'd never actually want to look desperate in front of other people. I'd never actually get down on my knees in worship before Jesus. I'd never pray bold prayers for healing because I'm not sure God really kind of works in that way. I'm a rational Christian. I'm a normal Christian. I'd never actually do anything that might make people think that I'm just a bit desperate for the power of Jesus in my life. I'd never actually do anything that people might look at me. I'd never kind of physically express myself in worship. That might show some desperation. People might think I'm one of those crazy, desperate Christians. What would people at church think? I'm not a desperate Christian. I'm a normal Christian. Do you actually want to experience the life-giving and healing power of Jesus? Or are you just kind of too interested in being a normal Christian and just here kind of for a good time to catch up with friends and enjoy church? Do you desperately want Jesus Christ, the author of creation, the sustainer of the world, the one who brings life and healing and hope to this world? Do you want him? Are you desperate for him? Jairus did not care what other people thought because he was in desperate need for the power of Jesus in his life. And as we read through the Gospels, we see that it is those who express their desperate need for Jesus who he responds to. Verse 24, so Jesus went with him. Jesus goes with Jairus. And there are a lot of people in the crowd that day. There's so many people around. But for the one person Jesus goes with, the one he responds to, Jesus in his life, is the one who... Are you desperate for Jesus? The story then takes a bit of a twist. Instead of telling us what happens straight away, what happens with this little girl, Mark draws our attention to another person in another desperate situation. As Jairus goes with Jesus to see the little girl, we're told in verse 24 that a large crowd followed and pressed around him. We're reminded again, there are a lot of people around. Sure, you know what it's like to be in a large crowd, maybe somewhere like Salamanca, right? At the market, you're trying to get somewhere, there's people pressed up against you, you're constantly being bumped into, and then you get stuck behind a pram, and then someone kind of suddenly turns around and busts their backpack into you. You know, it's that kind of crowd, right? And Mark tells us that as Jesus is following Jairus to his house, they're walking through this bustling crowd, and Jesus suddenly stops. He stops because he feels power go from him. And it's here we're introduced to this woman who has been bleeding for 12 long years. And in introducing this woman now, Mark presents us with this big contrast, right? Of this highly respected and great religious man, this synagogue ruler Jairus, and a woman who doesn't even have a name here. This unnamed woman who has already lost her health and her money and her social standing and her family. She's living in a Jewish part of the world where it's believed that she's unclean, she shouldn't be associated with, whatever her exact condition is, we don't know. But what is certain is that after bleeding 12 years, she would have been in a state of continuous discomfort. Her clothes would have been persistently bloodstained. That repulsive, dry blood smell would have followed her everywhere she went. This woman was in this endless state of ritual uncleanness and socially shunned. And because she was unclean, she was cut off from God, right? A terrible life in this social and spiritual desert. And like Jairus, but in a very different way, this woman is desperate for the healing power of Jesus. But no matter what she did to try and get better, nothing worked. Verse 26, we're told that she went to many doctors, but instead of getting better, she just grew worse. You know, our society is filled with people like this woman, caged in, feeling as though they're socially and religiously isolated, cut off from the world. You know, it may not always be a medical condition that is the cause. Maybe it is a physical or mental health condition, but maybe it's complex trauma or a hard family or relationship situation. This bleeding woman probably had nothing more to lose in her life. But in desperation, verse 27, she comes up behind Jesus. She reaches out to Jesus and touches his cloak, thinking, if I can just touch his cloak, then I will be healed. Because like Jairus, this woman has realized where true power is found, and she reaches out to touch the cloak of Jesus. She reaches out to him in faith for help and for healing and for power. And we're told that immediately when she touched him, her bleeding stopped and she felt that in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Immediate healing. It's just amazing. It was over. Her bleeding had finally stopped. After 12 years, can you imagine? She was freed from her suffering. But instead of sneaking off and enjoying her newfound freedom, Jesus calls her out in verse 30. He says, "Who touched my clothes?" We don't know exactly why Jesus calls the woman out, but maybe he wanted her to give glory to whom it was due. Maybe he wanted the woman to see that his clothes aren't magical, but actually she's healed by the power of Jesus through faith. And we're told that trembling with fear, she falls at the feet of Jesus, just like Jairus, and tells him the whole truth. Instead of rebuking this woman for stealing his power, verse 34, Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." See, the thing that healed her was her faith. She recognized that Jesus, this man, has power and authority to bring new life and freedom, and she reaches out to Jesus in desperation and she experiences that healing and new life and freedom. After telling the story of the bleeding woman, Mark then comes back to Jairus. We're told from verse 35 that while Jesus is still speaking, men from the house of Jairus break the news that he's too late. the little girl has died. Now, for most people, the news of death is a devastating blow and results in shock. But read how Jesus responds to death. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be fearful. Don't be scared. Just believe." He calls Jairus to hold on to his faith. To not live and walk in fear, but instead hold on to the belief that with Jesus everything will be okay. Jesus arrives at the home of Jairus. He wades his way through throngs of people. It's highly likely that there are these professional mourners there, people in the ancient world who are hired to pretend to be sad for the synagogue ruler and his family. They're standing outside the house wailing. You can kind of imagine the commotion that's going on that day. And Jesus breaks through all this commotion and announces that this girl is not dead but asleep. A whole lot of them laugh at him. Jesus tells them to get out of the house, leaving just the parents and his three disciples, Peter, James, and John. It's interesting, isn't it? Those who, without faith, those who laugh at Jesus, what Jesus says, are sent out of the house. They don't get to witness the healing. Jesus takes a little girl by the hand and he says with authority and with power, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And she immediately stands up and walks around and everyone is astonished. Because Jesus is the one who has power over death. Jesus is the Lord of life. Both Jairus and this unnamed bleeding woman have faith that Jesus has this supernatural power to bring healing and life. How easily we underestimate the power of Jesus. We go to doctors, we see counselors, we see friends and family support. We try and fix our problems long before we even ever think to bring it to Jesus. Don't hear me saying, of course, that we avoid doctors. God clearly, powerfully uses the health profession to bring about his healing purposes, and we seek out medical help when we need it. But as God's people, we need to understand and believe that in Jesus there is power for healing and new life. In Jesus there is hope for a new tomorrow and a better future. Like Jairus, like the bleeding woman, when things don't go our way, when things don't quite take the course that we hope in our lives, we get down on our knees, we reach out, we have faith in the power of Jesus Christ to bring healing and new life. We turn to the one who has the power to heal our problems. Because Jesus is Lord over every part of our lives. He's Lord over chronic illness. He's Lord over death. He has power. I understand that many of you may be sitting there in long-term pain. Maybe physical, maybe emotional pain. Relational pain, and you feel that, oh, I've done this, right? I've tried calling out to Jesus for help. Maybe your knees are worn from begging God to do something. Maybe you've just come to accept that this is what life has thrown at you and you've just got to put up with it, you've just got to suffer, you've just got to feel helpless. You know, we read stories in the scriptures of people who suffer for long, long periods of time, right to the end of their earthly lives. Suffering is real. The pain is there. But in the midst of our suffering, our role as God's people, what we're called to do is to walk daily in faith and trust with a deep confidence that Jesus does have power and authority over every part of our lives. Jesus can perform miracles. He can bring healing. We hold on to that faith, and at the same time, we trust that God is in control, that God will do what is best, and ultimately, we look forward to a day with hope that the whole world will be renewed, our bodies will be raised, and pain and suffering and death will be a distant memory. Maybe for you, it's not a matter of long-term pain or suffering, but maybe there are things in your life or burdens that you might be carrying that you've never actually laid at the feet of Jesus in prayer. Something deep in your heart that causes hurt and pain and you just don't want to bring it to God. Maybe you have an overwhelming sense of shame, restricting your ability to kind of bring things to Jesus. Hear these words of Jesus. Do not fear. Don't fear. Have faith. Whether you've been putting up with suffering for years or whether you've never, something you've never faced up to Jesus about, don't fear, have faith. Step out, go to Jesus, fall at his feet. Don't worry about what everyone else thinks. Fall at the feet of Jesus and experience his power. We serve Jesus, who knows what it is like to suffer. He knows what it's like living in this world, going through horrible things. He was whipped, he was beaten, he was despised, he was rejected, he was shamed, people lied about him, people schemed about him, and he was hung up on a cross to die. So that when we come to him, like Jairus and this woman, when we come to him in faith, without fear, we receive freedom and forgiveness and new life. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that suffering and pain and death is not the end. It does not have the final word because Jesus is victorious. Come to Jesus. Fall at his feet. Be desperate for him. It would be wonderful to hear those words from Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Let's pray.